And I want to talk to us today about the difference between trusting God and human strength. And I hope it goes without saying that the important one is that we trust God. And it's not easy because we can find ourselves into moments of confusion, moments of anxiety, things that we face that can make us get into human control. And we all have that tendency. I have that tendency. I know everybody in Melbourne's like, yep, this is relating to me already. But we have a tendency that at times when pressure can hit, or we're all problem solvers. Whatever it is that you're facing, whether you know it or not, you're ultimately solving problems all the way through life. And so the deal is trusting God, it's a big spirited attitude. It's an attitude that's going to take you into a future that's so great and so blessed, and it's the way that we were meant to live. This is the origin story of humanity, two trees. One tree was the tree of life. One tree was the knowledge of good and evil. One tree was trust God and His word, and the other tree was take matters into your own hands and do things in human strength. And Adam and Eve, bummer, they made the wrong decision. But we can't penalize them too much. And this is the story of Israel and the story, like, constantly taking matters into our own hands. I remember on the Gold Coast when we just got married, I got my first gym membership at Fitness First. This is not I'm not pumping Fitness First or anything, but anyone go to the gym? Has anyone ever been to the gym? They're like, oh, maybe I should get back into that. And coming into summer, everyone's getting their beach body on. And so got my first gym membership. And I remember going up onto the second floor. It was a two-story gym. And I tried to do this thing called squats. Anyone hate leg day? Anyone? Okay, I got more hands right there. And so I put some plates, like probably just all the plates the gym had on the bar. And I'm like, somebody say, I got this. And so that was the attitude that I had, and I put it on, and I forgot to put because I'm new to the gym. You know, I was all set up going to the gym. I went to Coles and got some tins of tuna. I had them in the back, in the center console of my car. So I was just ready for protein at any time. I just kept the same fork in my car, and I would just clean it. I'd just lick it clean, wipe it on my shirt, put it down. Jess is like, yes, he did that. I'm like, babe, you want some? And so she's like, who am I dating? Like, who am I married to? We were married, yeah, by that point. And anyway, so I load up the bar and I'm not, you know, it's first time and I'm not doing it balanced. And then the plates, the 75 plates on this side, just started falling off. The weights fell off and then, you know, it counterbalanced on the other side and crash. I dropped everything in the gym. True story, the trainer comes across and he's like, you idiot. He starts like cussing me out. And I was so embarrassed. And I just ran out like a little girl. And nothing wrong with how little girls run, but it was just, it wasn't appropriate for me to run that way that day. And anyway, but I just thought I had it. I thought I could handle it. And that's just a dumb story. But the truth is this is you and I. We all, we don't ever want to be taught or be told or need a spotter. God's the ultimate spotter. You know, we're called to yoke ourselves with Jesus. And when you can trust Him at that level, when you and I do that, we walk into such an incredible, blessed future. And it reminds me of a time where my youngest Ayla, we're walking around and I'm taking Ayla to, you know, the promised land, which was a park around the corner, like with slides and swings and all this stuff. And I know where I'm going, but she at the time was like 3 years old and we're walking and she just saw these rocks in the curb on the side of the road and there's cars going by and all this stuff. And Jean just got it in her. You know, she is the daughter of two pretty strong-headed people. One's more strong-headed than the other in our relationship. And it's not the one standing on stage, right? No. I'll have to live with that later. So she's strong-headed. She sees these rocks and she just got it in her head, I want to play with these rocks that I found. Like these, you know, kids just pick up things. And I didn't want her playing by the road that way. It's dangerous. That's not, and there's something better. She couldn't see it. It was around the corner. I knew where we were going, and I'm just like, babe, trust me. And she starts crying. She starts getting upset as if I'm trying to rob her of her destiny. Like she, as if she knew better, as in this is the, and see where I'm going with this. I want to tell you, C3 Powerhouse, that God has a destiny for this church, greater fruit, greater success, greater prosperity for your life. God has a destiny for you that has favor attached to it, that has miracles and signs and wonders and amazing things. He does around the corner. There is a promised land. There's a life for you. But it takes us to trust God. It takes us to let go of our sights, to let go. We walk by faith, the Bible says, and not by sight. So in Jeremiah chapter 17, it contrasts these two ideas. And it says, this is 17 verse 5 to 8. It says, this is what the Lord says, cursed. Somebody say cursed. In Melbourne, say cursed. Good job. Cursed is the one who trusts in man. Trusts in man. Who draws strength from mere flesh. Whose heart turns away from the Lord. So that is what happens when we trust in man. We turn away from God. That person will be like a bush in the wasteland. Dang it. They will not see prosperity when it comes. They will dwell in the parched places of the desert, in the salt land where no one lives. Double dang it. But blessed in Melbourne and in Sunshine Coast, say blessed. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. They will be like, not like a bush in the wasteland, they will be like a tree planted by the water. It sends out its roots in the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Not if heat comes. Heat will come in your life. James says we face trials of many kinds. But when he comes, we don't fear. Why? Not because we trust in what we see, because we trust in the one that sees all and has no worry. How many people want to live a life free of worry? I do. No worries in the year of drought. Even if it feels like things are lacking, even if you look around and things don't make sense and it doesn't look like God's on your side, in those moments, you won't worry because you trust and you know he must be up to something. You got that little cheeky faith smile. What's God doing? It's not all making sense right now, but ooh, man, the devil's coming at me, but I just know. And that's a really powerful position to be in. No worries in the year of drought and never fails to bear fruit. I believe 2026 is the most fruitful season of this church. I know it to be true. I was praying to God as we were worshiping and I said, Lord, what is the word for C3 Powerhouse? And I know the word is much fruit. The word moving into 2026, launching out in Sydney and that team, and that is just a shadow like those five people. But when we're doing that, let's make sure we move with the idea that there is only fruit coming for that church and that location in Sydney. As we're believing in Melbourne, I mean, come on. We look at the eastern suburbs, but this is, you are in, you are an incubator for fruit to come, that there will be locations planted all around Melbourne, on every corner of the city. Why? Because we are people that trust God. We know that God is up to something and God loves fruit. We serve a fruity God. We do. And so I got a picture of these two trees that you can kind of get an idea. There's this, and you can see just even the spirit of this dry, the weak, this one over here, the bush, it's like, it's weak, it's stressed, it's isolated, vulnerable and dry. That could be you in church feeling like that's how you came to church today. Well, you're not gonna leave that same way. But the other one is strong, it's calm, it's unfazed. It's just like, got it. That's who we are, it's secure, amen. And the context of this story is just that Jeremiah was speaking into Judah's fear of Babylon's rise of power at the time. They had every reason to feel threatened. But he's saying, hey, that's not you. You are the people of Israel and you are people whose roots go down into the deep things of God. And so your life circumstances, my life circumstances might not be lining up with feeling like the flourishing tree. That might not be how you feel. But your feelings shouldn't tell you who God is. God should tell your feelings, and your circumstances should dictate the future of our lives. And so I'm very excited that as we trust in God and our roots are deep, that our leaves will never wither. Come on, that we will find fruit in and out of season. Somebody say amen. That is what it means to be a Christian. So number one, human strength blinds us. That verse that says, man, you will not see prosperity when it comes. And this happens in my life, that when I feel like I don't know what's going on and I feel the need to like grip and control and I get short-sighted. This is what happens when pressure hits and we go to our own, so we go to overwork. The Bible literally says, do not overwork according to your own understanding, cease. Overworking is an insult to God. And that'll preach right there, especially to people in Melbourne. They're just hustling. No. What if, Sabbath is not because we work so hard, we deserve rest. Sabbath is a statement to say, I trust God, just like tithing is. Well, human strength says, I'm gonna keep every dollar and I'm gonna control every dollar. Trust says, I am obeying God and giving the first 10%, but I'm going even further than that to be a part of Vision Builders and to be a part of building the house because I completely trust God. And then what God does with the leftover 6 days, with the leftover amounts or whatever, God does far more than that. He can leverage it in an amazing way. Amen. And so we, in the first year of our church, I had a moment of human strength and, really trying to control. We went through 13 different venues. I've told different parts of this story here before, but I found this venue for our church that just was like the shiniest, most amazing venue. It's called the Art Gallery of Ontario. I have a photo of it. It's this, yeah, I know, that wasn't the whole auditorium. There was like an auditorium off in the corner. Like it's not like, so as the first, but I knew that this is an iconic venue. If you visit our city, you would know it. And there's a theater in there that's like brand spanking new. It had like storage and it's like all, and I'm like, man, no church planter has ever done it as good as me. I'm nailing it. And 5 days before we were meant to move in, I was working on the contract for 3 months. I got a call and they had to cancel the contracts. And then we didn't have a venue to meet in. And then the alternate venue, which was the Tree of Life venue, did not look like the Tree of Life. It sucked. Am I allowed to say that in church? It just really, there is no other word. It just really sucked. And it was an elementary school gymnasium. And I have, there's no sound to this, but if you have the link to that time-lapse video, we were doing setup and tear down in a gymnasium. And we were basically setting up the Old Testament tabernacle every single Sunday. So our team would get there at like 6 a.m. And we set up like hundreds of feet of drape, and we had like the brazen laver and the showbread, and we sacrificed a bull. Like every, no, not really. But that wasn't what the art gallery was going to be like. The art gallery was going to be, it was all taken care of for us. It was shiny. And then long story short though, God could see around the corner. I couldn't see prosperity and it was coming right at me. And prosperity was coming at me in the form of work and in the form of rosters and in the form of team. And you know what happened is I didn't know at the time, but God was getting us set for the next 10 years and even Hamilton still now, and preparing us and strengthening us that we were going to be a set up and tear down church for over a decade. But you know what happened? Because I couldn't see prosperity as it was coming. I thought, this is the way. This is what good churches do, is they have these great, nice, shiny, little, cushy venues. And I was going to get it from day one. And I praise God for this room that we're standing in, but for the fight that has happened that we're in here right now, and then believing for the land and believing for locations and what we're doing is that it seems like, man, why is it so difficult? But God is leading us to a future that sometimes it's hard for us to conceive in the moment because the price seems to be paid up front. And then I didn't know because I couldn't see prosperity and it was coming right at my face. So the next venue was this place called Central Tech that had this 600-seat auditorium, and God called us to move in there from that setup and tear down to do more setup and tear down in another school. But our team, we're used to it now, and we're building and growing. We moved into that 600-seat venue as a church of about 180 people on a Sunday, and I was like, this is crazy, but I felt the call of God that we were meant to move in there, and we filled that thing three times over on a Sunday. We had an 8:30, a 10 a.m., and an 11:45 service. And the 11:45, who goes to church just before lunch? That was the fullest service. Somebody say, praise Jesus. We just can't see around every corner. What if you're blaming all these situations and all these problems in your business, but it's God's setup for the promise that's coming? He might be training you and building you and increasing capacity in you just for what he has around the corner. But when we trust God, there is something deep in our spirit that just knows, hey, I can't make sense of everything right now, but there is something around the corner and I'm getting ready to swing on that swing or slide down that slide. Might be called to just drop those rocks. Amen. But anxiety and all that stuff, it blinds us. Number two, trusting God is our position of confidence. It's a position like that tree, it's a position of confidence. And so contrasted to 10 years later, there was a moment, and the position of confidence, the scripture says it sends out its roots. So there's a sense. And the sending out, that picture for me, when we send out, it's like open-handed, it's not gripped in control. The nature of your leaders, Pastor John and Danielle, they have a confidence and a trust in God to release. That's a position of strength. Inside their human side, they might be thinking, oh my gosh, we're sending the best five people to Sydney. I wish they would stay here, but I trust God. So because of that decision, well, what that means, and sending out the roots is like it's free. The word free comes to mind. It's a posture of freedom. It's a posture of strength. It's a posture of, so that little weak bush is like, it's like I see everything bunched up, hold tight, like controlling and small. But the tree that sends its roots out is like and so in our daily prayer time, church, we get this spirit of, I'm going to trust in the Lord and lean not on my own understanding. And that's it. That's a posture of oxygen. And it's a posture that's why I'm doing this, because it just feels big. And that's you. That's who you are. Powerhouse, baby. We are a people that are rooted in God, and we're big people and we're strong people. And you're going to live that in your personal life as well. And you're going to see incredible move of God in your life. So what happened was we got a warning, and some of our staff actually got a prophetic warning in prayer 10 years later in 2023 that we were going to go through a season of significant spiritual warfare, and God just warned us. Thank you, Jesus, for doing that. And then the warning came, and straight after that, we got notified that all our contracts at all our setup and teardown venues were getting canceled. And actually, it's a longer story. It was actually religious discrimination, and I won't go into that. And everybody's like, what? And yeah, it was crazy. And so we were looking around for a solution. And, you know, because our city is pretty anti-church, and there was that's what was going on. And we were looking around. All we could find was church venues that might work for like $10,000, $15,000 a Sunday. That wasn't going to work. And we were looking for other options where they could only have us in for like 10 Sundays a year, and that wasn't going to work. Nothing was working. But I had learned some lessons. And I knew, okay, I'm not going to go to human strength. And so it was Father's Day in Toronto. Father's Day's in June. And so it was in June of 2023. I said to the church, we do not have a solution next Sunday. Does that sound familiar of what happened at the AGO thing? We didn't have a solution for the following Sunday. But instead of freaking out like I did the first time, I said, church, God has something for us. You watch, there's a miracle coming. And so Monday morning, I show up to my prayer time. I just... Monday morning, don't always do that. I'm glad I did that day. And I just put my face on the ground and I said, God, I give up, it's in your hands. And I don't know what your solution is, but this church is ultimately your responsibility and not mine. And then 4:22 p.m. on Monday afternoon, I get a PDF real estate listing from someone I hadn't spoken to in 6 months. He said, hey man, just thought of you randomly. An Israeli investor has bought a Catholic church in downtown Toronto. And while it might get developed one day, but in the meantime, he's looking for someone to rent that space. And I got a picture of that church in faith. And so I said, could we meet the following day? And then we were paying $15,000 a month for the school, for our downtown location. And I just quickly said to the investor, I'm so glad that you've got this building and we need a solution, but can we just cut out the negotiations and just, what's your bottom line? Like, I want a solution, you want a solution. And the realtor's standing there and he's like, oh, don't talk to him like this. And the guy just said, I don't know, how about, so we were paying $15,000 a month. He said, how about $7,500 a month? And I was like, oh, I think we could do seven. And he's like, deal. And then what happened was that same week, 2 days later, so we went from set up and tear down. Oh, there it is. So we went from set up and tear down. I'm talking church about trusting God and leaning not on your own understanding. And then so we went from set up and tear down and all this work and seeing the move of God through all that. And then we got notified 2 days later, not just this was our first permanent leased location as a church, but we went from this one and then Midtown, our second location, we got notified 2 days later that we landed a contract with the Anglican Church, and we went from no permanent venues to two in 1 week. In 1 week. Praise Jesus. Somebody say, but God. I know. And he's looking to show off in your life. Will you just trust him? And this is a picture of that Catholic church filled just, this is church, like every Sunday, just people. And we do three services there and we do two services at Midtown and it's just so incredible. And we just recently, as Pastor John mentioned, just bought another property at our Hamilton location and seeing what God is doing. And to try not to make sense of everything we can't see is to have a relationship with the one that can make sense of everything because he sees everything. What a remarkable life you and I get to live. Trusting God and leaning into God. And I just want to finish with this thought and I can get the keys. Oh, well done. He's already there. Third point is there is fresh life in the river. So the idea here is it sends roots out into the stream, and the Bible calls, Jesus reveals himself through the Holy Spirit as the river of life. And if you've never made a decision to invite Jesus into your heart, to connect to the river of life, the Bible says that anyone that drinks from this river will never thirst again. If you and I try and live our lives, I'm talking to people in Melbourne, I'm talking to people here at Sunny Coast or any Australian watching online. If you and I live our lives and we live apart from God, it's not the life that we were created to live. We will be left with a thirst that can never be quenched. We will be left dry, barren, like a wasteland. As Jeremiah says, it's like a salt spring. But if we live like the way that we were meant to live, which is connected to the river, to receive Jesus and to be filled with the life of God, we live the life that we were created to live. In the Bible, there's this amazing river story in Ezekiel 47. And it says this, and it's a prophetic picture of what happens when we turn to Jesus. It says there's a river that flows out of a door. And the Bible says is that Jesus is the door. And it says swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because the water flows and makes the salt water fresh. That's death to life. That's what happens when you and I give our lives to Jesus. What used to be dead, what used to be barren, what used to be dry becomes a place of life. And I love the end of this in verse 9. It says, wherever the river flows, everything will live. You know, because we decided to plant a location in Melbourne, there's a new river in Melbourne. And there's a river flowing where it wasn't flowing before. And because we planted the location, I say we because this is our church just as much as it's your church, that there is a fresh river and there is life where there wasn't life before. You are like a river. As you go about your business and you go about your community and you go about engaging with baristas and servers and people at school and people at work, you're like this little river of life. And wherever the river flows, you take life. And so I'm going to hand it over to Toby at Melbourne. But just before I do that, I just want to pray a prayer for everybody in the room and for everybody in Melbourne. And Toby's going to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus into your life. And I want you to know that to take a hold of this opportunity and to say yes and to say, I need this. I don't want to be the person that's just like, I got this. I'm going to do things on my own. I'm going to live life without God. No, you don't got this. You may have been able to make some things work out decent, but nobody wants to live that life. I'm calling you to live the life that God has for you and lean in and to receive Jesus and to invite him into your heart and make your life right with God. This is the greatest decision. And you will see around the corner of this decision, you will see a freshness flow into you. You will see life flow into you. You will see your life go from death to life. So let me pray. Father God, I thank you for everybody in Melbourne, for everybody online, for everybody here on the sunny coast. In your name, Jesus, I thank you that you are the river of life. And we plant ourselves in you. We abide in you. And as you abide in us, Lord, I thank you that our lives will bear the fruit that they were called to bear. In your name, Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you, Melbourne.